I want to start off with a story tonight. I'm going to do an overview about what we're going to be talking about. Dad and I went through this. We've had this privilege of teaching something similar to this maybe three or four times, not quite like this. Normally we showed pre-made videos and talked about it, so this is new, but every time we went through this, what we noticed was everyone was encouraged. And it's almost like the Spirit brought an electricity and an urgency to get out and share. And people were sharing with each other what had happened in their encounters. So we wanted to do this here. But as we're talking about missions, just as an opener, I want to share a story. We had the chance. We used to do outreach in New Orleans out in the projects in the Ninth Ward. And one time we had went out there. And someone had been murdered about within 48 hours of us being there. And this 10-year-old boy came up and he said, "Mister, you're in the wrong place." He said, "See that hole in the wall? That's a bullet hole." And that just happened 48 hours ago and someone had been shot. And a little child's telling you that. And it's an eye-opening experience. But so I say that to say there's realities out there. And I had this young man with me. And his mom had actually sent him. This boy had a desire to learn how to share. And we got out there, and me and this boy, and I think Ross Daigle was there, and we kind of got farther from the group and farther from the group and farther from the group until we got all the way out to where I couldn't see anybody we were with, and that's kind of like a rule breaker there. And you stay with your group. And finally, this young man, he looked at me, and he said, "Hey, Ben, I want to share with somebody. I want to go to somebody's door. I want to go to that door." And I mean, he must have pointed another quarter mile out. It was the last door in the projects, so far out. I said someone was murdered out there just then, and I'm thinking, ooh, I got this young man with me. What do I do? But I didn't want to make a bad impression, like, no, we won't go over there. We don't trust the Lord. So I was praying about it, and I wanted to show this man, you want to reach these people? Let's go over there. And so we go over there, and I'm kind of like, oh, boy, here we go, Ralph, way off. And you never know what's going to happen when you knock out there. We've had some bad situations, but we go up, we knock, you know, I don't think anybody's there. All right, let's head out, brother. Yeah. Praise God. Let's head back to the group. But anyway, I hear rustling inside. And next thing I know, the door opens, and I'll be honest with you, I'm scared. Not for my life, but I have somebody with me, and I'm thinking I'm responsible for this young man. And the door opens. And I was shocked. It was like I was in a dream. Behind this door, at the farthest corner, away from everybody, the door opens, and it's my dad. And I'm like, "Dad, what are you doing here? Like, why are you opening the door like you live here? Like, what's going on? I'm so confused." Like, because no one was around, you know. And I'm thinking, "Dad, what is this?" And immediately my fear went away. You know, I was like a little boy. I saw my dad, and it's like, whoa, wow, this is awesome. What's he doing here? He was in there trying to reach him. But God showed me this as an analogy. When you're scared, and when you want to go, and you're like, man, I don't know how to approach this person. This is out of my comfort zone. I don't know how to do this. I want to tell you something. Your father, he's already there. He's already there. He's reaching these people. What he's saying is, son, come over where I am. I'm already reaching out to him, and I want you there with me. And what a picture. I hope you don't forget that. So we're going to be talking about that, a few things here. What is this class? Because we're going to be here for 4 weeks. Four long, grudgerous weeks, you know. No, it's going to be great. 4 weeks. When I was young, Dad was he got to be in the Navy and was an aircraft mechanic and knows how to do all this cool stuff with cars and that just wasn't my thing. And I was a teenager, and he was trying to show me one day. He's like, "Hey, you know, here, son, here's the transmission and the alternator, and this is the pistons and how all this works." And I remember about 35 seconds into, I'm like, "Dad, that's good, but you know where the keys are? Because I'm supposed to be gone like 10 minutes ago." And if I want to make an analogy of what this class is, I'm making another analogy here. I'm going to be doing analogies all week. This class is going to be like this. We're going to close the hood. We're not going to be asking about how does the evangelical transmission work. We're not going to be trying to figure out how the pistons fire. We're not going to be figuring out how all the hosing works and the fan. What we're going to do is we're going to close the hood. We're going to walk. We're going to get in the driver's seat, put on our seatbelt, and we're going to hit the gas. And we're going to go. And praise God, he's going to do that. And some of you may be thinking, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for that. I get it. I want to share a story from the Word of God. I encourage you to go back and read it. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. You can turn there if you would. Mark chapter 5. I'm really just going to be paraphrasing it. This is probably one of my favorite chapters of Scripture. Mark chapter 5. It says, my heading says, a demon-possessed man healed. Who was this guy? You know, Jesus, they cross over a storm. They get to the other side of the water. And there is this raging lunatic on the other side. It says that he's gashing himself open with stones. He lives nude in a graveyard, screaming out day and night. The Bible says when Jesus got there, the man immediately ran up. I'm just paraphrasing. But a guy immediately ran up and began to worship him, and Jesus immediately set him free. By the way, there's no battle in that sense between Jesus and Satan. It's a, you know, those old Western showdowns. It's really a no-shot showdown. When Jesus shows up, they bow. They have to submit and answer anytime you encounter that. But with that said, Jesus immediately sets this man free. And he begins to ask, you can look at this. In verse 15, it's so critical. It said, the people came. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Jesus did this for this man. Immediately made well. And it's a picture of what the gospel does. I can think about my own life before Christ. Really, I was not in my right mind. And he's put me into my right mind. But this is so critical. Verse 18, it says, and when he had got in the boat, that's Jesus, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go. Listen, he said, go. Go home. Tell your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read what Jesus did, it puts a question mark. You know, if I were there, I can't help but think I'd be like, Jesus, you know, is this really the guy you want to put on the mission board right now? You know, did you see this guy? But Jesus sends him. So I want to say real quick, don't tell the Lord you're not ready. Have you been saved? Has God redeemed you? He has. You have a story. That's the first. You know what the gospel is because you've experienced it in your own life. I don't want to sit around and wait to be ready when Jesus will send a man out like this and say, you go tell everybody you know. Amen. We can follow the same charge. I'm about to have Dad come up and share a little bit, but I want to say this. Outreach and evangelism. A lot of times we talk about the command. We have an obligation to share, a burden. I want to say something. This has been one of the greatest joys of my life. Once I got a hold of the fact that I could reach somebody and that somebody who was in this kind of shape, broken and scarred and marred by the devil, that I could lead them to the Lord and that he could radically change their life and I could see that with my own eyes and be used for that. This became one of my greatest joys in life. I didn't wake up every morning and say, oh, I got a burden I better share with somebody. I was thinking, Lord, it's possible. Would you please bring this person to you today? And the more you got to do it and the more you get to see it, you begin to get a greater joy about it. And it becomes something not that you're dreading, like I need to do this. You realize I'm about to see this person set free. And God's going to use me to do it. Praise God for that. I want to call Dad up here before we really get into the lesson tonight. And he's going to kind of share a little testimony. And you do know I will talk to myself if no one's around. So I got to give the mic off sometimes.
Need to get the little shepherd's hook to pull him off. But by the way, in that far building, I was trying to get a bite to eat. That's what I was doing. Not really, in the projects. That it worked out that guy was diabetic, and he just needed prayer, and he couldn't make it to eat the food that we had, so just an awesome opportunity to share with him. But I wanted to share with you guys, number one, there's such a broad range of people here, people that go on the street continually, people that share continually, people that are knowledgeable in the Word, way more knowledgeable than I am. People that are maybe not so knowledgeable, people that have never shared their faith. And I can remember being in that shape, and I would ask the question, I don't know if I want feedback or don't want feedback, but why are you here tonight? Ask yourself that question. And I can't help but think, with everything that's been going on in this body, that God has pulled you here tonight for this time. And I'm just thankful in my heart. The other thing is, there are, maybe for some of you that I've heard from, there are fears, anxieties. How do I approach somebody? What do I say? What do I do when they say this? What do I do when this turns? And I just praise God for where He has brought me, and I'm going to share that testimony briefly, but it was somewhere around 2003. We had moved back to New Orleans from Memphis, and we decided to go downtown just to have some beignets and coffee, and you know how it works. And so we're hanging out there, and I got to the square, and Ben and I, we left Rose at the coffee house, and I saw this lady getting her palm read. Something inside of me didn't want to move. It's like I have the answer I can give her. And I stood there frozen. It's like, what do I say? And it wasn't so much for the card reader as it was for the lady. It's like, lady, don't put your hope in her. Put your hope in Christ. I stood there. Ben was unaware of what was taking place. He walks by, and it's like I'm stuck. I just can't move. I did nothing. We left. God burdened me at that point. I knew something was coming. I didn't know how it was coming. There was a guy in New Orleans that had just gotten there himself from Texas. He was going on the streets. He was doing street evangelism. He just happened to come to the church where we were attending to see somebody else that was speaking, and God connected us. Still, I had that fear of going on the street. It's like, what do I do? So I would bring him clothes, we would bring him food, we'd bring him things, and you know, anything but going on the street. And finally one day we went on the street, and my life has not been the same. Ben was there with me that night. We were actually leaving downtown Bourbon Street, you know, on St. Anne, one of those streets, and we're walking down, and this girl did something really inappropriate, and she was with, there were two girls and a guy. So the guy that's with us says, what if Jesus were to come tonight? And the girl turns around, and she just screams, hey, everybody, what if Jesus were to come tonight? It's like, uh-oh, here we go. They started ministering to that girl and to that guy, and I'm sitting there watching this go on. And they had two other guys coming down the street, and they were sober. They were just out doing their thing at 2 o'clock in the morning, just checking things out, 3 o'clock, whatever it was. Pretty good sized guys. I see them coming across the street, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, this ain't going to be pretty. We got trouble coming. When I looked up, the guy that was there at first and the girl were weeping in the arms of those out ministering. One of the guys they began to share with, he just hit his knees and began to cry and just began to repent. Picture yourself out in the middle of this, and you're thinking, you know what happened, but you're thinking, what in the world just happened? It was God's power. It was that authority. Acts 1:8 gives us that. Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore. All authority has been given to us. When that took place, I couldn't quit. I couldn't quit. And just for interest, they actually, within a year or two, had a tarot card reader fold her stuff up and turn her life to Christ while we were out there. When you see those people, sometimes it looks scary. It's like, who are these guys? Who is that dealer? somebody's mom, somebody's sister, somebody's son, they're lost. When you see them, when I saw that girl, you think, what? And I would like to show you a before and after picture. We can't do it tonight. You had two little kids. One of them had a knot on his head, no clothes, in a diaper. Had another one behind the stroller. They were living in an abandoned building. We had to bring them powdered milk and stuff to get them by till we got our way to a halfway house. And she's doing fine today. But when you see those things, somehow the fear goes away. It's like, I don't see that as a tarot card reader. I don't see that as a drug lord. I see that as somebody lost in desperate need of a savior. So hopefully this week we can change some of the thinking, take some of the fear away, and not look at them as the bad guy, but look at them as somebody that's in desperate need of a savior. And you know, I'm the guy that can't, as you can tell right now, I'm not real good in front of people. I'm not Ben. Ben will stay up here till tomorrow night talking. But that's a plus. I'm not. I have trouble even approaching people. But since that took place in my life, God has totally changed my life. It doesn't matter who I approach. It doesn't matter. He's given me the words to say. He said, don't worry about what to say. I'll tell you what to say when you get there. And that's exactly what we do. And when you get in front of them, hopefully this equip class is going to help break down some of those walls, some of those thoughts that we have, and that we'll know that he is and has all authority, and he has charged us to go. That's all we need to know. All right, buddy, turn it back to you.
Man, thank you, God, for that. What he didn't say is they were out there sharing that tarot card reader, and I think her uncle was a pastor. And she ended up getting saved, and 2 years later, she came down as a missionary to New Orleans. What a turnaround.
Just for interest, when she came down to get her her powdered milk and things, she brought a guy with her. She said, he wants to hear what you told me last night. So we get to share with this guy. And how many times did it happen? There were some nights we had literally just to sneak off the streets because of people asking and people talking. So I was sharing with that guy. We're praying with him. And I feel a hand. Now, we're in the middle of the quarter downtown. This guy puts his hand on my shoulder. He said, brother, could you pray for me? He said, I got trouble with my back. I'm telling you, once you get out there, it just opens up. I stopped and I prayed with that guy, you know, and we were able to leave after that. But there were opportunities out there where literally we were taking pictures one night. Now I'm getting like Ben. But we were videoing and going through and just in situations. I don't even remember if we were videoing or if we just had the camera. Hey, what are y'all doing? What are y'all filming? Well, actually, we're just out sharing about the love of Christ. And, you know, and you go with that and people would come and they would just flock to you. We had to hide the camera to get out of there like at 2 o'clock in the morning because of people with the curiosity. So I just say, open up. God will do the rest.
Amen. Now that we've thoroughly scared you, right, with everything, I want to say, Dad and I talked about this many times. We have experience in different environments. We want you to know that God can move in the harshest environments so that when you talk to grandma, you have a little more confidence. Okay, so we're going to be talking about how do we reach family? How do we reach coworkers? How do we reach the guy next door? How do we reach that person at the mall? And praise God, as Dad said, how do we reach the witch doctor? God can do that, and he does, okay? If you read the book of Acts, you're going to see it. Where's Paul? He went where he could. He went to the marketplace. Remember that? He says he's at the marketplace. And then when it was the Sabbath, he'd go to church, and he'd minister there. And then you know what happened? God used that. Someone heard him. Next thing you know, he's basically at their Supreme Court. They brought him up on the hill and said, share with us, the elites. Where did it start? In the market. He just made himself available to the Lord, and God elevated it all the way. Let's talk about this. I just want to talk about a quick overview of where we're going. You got this booklet here. By the way, Anna, that's amazing. This booklet, thank you. There will be a test at the end of this, so be taking notes. I just want to talk about tonight. We're going to be talking about four foundations, four things. You are going to understand these and know these already. Do not neglect to listen, okay? We're going to be talking about practical ways that you're sharing. This all ties into sharing. So tonight we're going to be talking about 4 points primarily, and that's prayer, depending on the Holy Spirit, the gospel, and the charge, okay? Now, you already know what prayer is. You know who the Holy Spirit is. You know the gospel and you know the charge. But I'm telling you, you need to listen, because next week, week two, we're going to come in here. We're going to be talking about highly practical. What do I do when this person's in front of me? Where's Charles at? I want to use him as an example. Charles, where are you? So I can have a reference of you. Charles? There you are. Charles. Charles is my buddy. He's been helping us with this. I see Charles at the workplace. Maybe I have a burden for him. Maybe I just know that I need to be sharing with Charles. These four things are going to be critical in reaching Charles. If I want to reach him, you need to understand these four things. So week one, we're going to be talking about this, these four foundations, if you will, to evangelism. Next week, we're going to be talking about practical. I bet the number one thing you're scared of is, how do I approach somebody, right? I mean, that's it. How do we first of all start this conversation? I don't want to look like a weirdo. And we're going to talk about the fact that we don't have to be a weirdo. We're people. We're in southern Louisiana. I mean, you cannot go to Walmart without three perfect strangers talking to you about something. Okay? It's not like that in the rest of the world. We have a great advantage down here. I just moved back. We were living in Virginia, Yankee country, and I call it. But we were up there. It wasn't like this here, but when I got back, I noticed there were three O's. It didn't matter where I went, there were three O's. There was Gumbo, Coach O, and Joe Burrow. And anywhere I went, I mean, one time I was wearing an LSU shirt. I was in Lafayette doing a job with work, and this 80-year-old grandma walked up, punched me in the arm. She's like, "Go Tigers!" You know? So I need you to know, if we can do that down here, say, "Go Tigers," I want you to know we're going to talk about how do we progress that from the Tigers to the King, okay, and to the kingdom. And so we are going, God has given us practical ways specifically for F&T, icebreakers, to where we can go from point one, we've gotten into a conversation, point number two, now we're going to change things into a spiritual setting, three, edging this on through a timeline, God's timeline. Week number three, so that's week two, is going to be highly practical. It's the actual encounter, knowing how to do it, how to approach, how to bring them to the Lord. In great detail, we're going to bring questions in. We're going to be a lot of detail covered on that. Week three, we're going to be talking about our favorite word, right? Fear. F-E-A-R, fear. We're terrified, right? Hopefully not. But in week three, we're going to just talk about debunking fear. And I'll just say this, fear is your greatest resource. I learned that from Ray Comfort. Fear is your greatest resource. You know what? When you're scared to death, you know what you do? You go to your knees and you say, "God, make me strong." And in our weakness, He is strong. We're going to let it drive us to our knees. If you're scared to death, amen, turn it into a prayer to death, okay? And you will get strength from God. And He is going to move through you. That's not up for debate. He is willing and ready. He's waiting on you to open your mouth, and He wants to fill it. Week four, we're going to be talking just specifically, this is just an overview of recapping a lot more on how do we share. And I want, if anyone is willing, we're going to do some kind of role play with people who have signed up for that, to where we can talk about some encounters. You know, what if somebody throws you the crazy curveballs that are in society right now? What if somebody comes out and says something antagonistic? What if they're mad? Which is very rare, by the way, in all of our encounters. I don't care where you are. 90% of the people are Christians, right? Praise God. In all the years we went to Bourbon Street, I was so thankful that 99% of everyone I talked to was saved and going to church that Sunday, right? That's what they tell you. And so where do you go from there, right? Because, you know, I don't know about them, but I'm concerned, you know, about their salvation. It didn't seem like they were. So with that said, where do we go in those kind of situations? So enough about overview. Do you have anything you want to share on that? Let's start tonight. You can turn your book to Foundations for Evangelism. That's going to be on page 5. Foundations for Evangelism. Where are we at on time here? Oh, my. I'm going to speed talk the rest of the night, okay? No. Number one, we're going to be talking about prayer. I'm going to use this whiteboard if that's okay, right? Just so we can get a visual. Somebody put a dog up here. I love that. That ties in, I'm sure. Prayer. Prayer. By the way, the theme of this is that you're ready. You are ready. Amen. I want to encourage you to be praying more, but I don't want you to go home and be like, I'm going to work on my prayer life and then I'm going to start sharing next week. Nope. We're going to work on our prayer life while we're sharing. Amen. And that's, where's CJ? CJ, you hit the nail on the head Sunday night. What a blessing. You said, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. I don't know where to go. You went out there and God hit you like a lightning bolt. And God gave you the words and gave you the compassion. And that's amazing. So first, let's talk about prayer in regards to reaching out. Could somebody turn to Ephesians 3:20 and read that for me? Ephesians 3:20. Amen. I believe that verse. I just wish I put it into action more. That I realize He's willing. You know, God's unique. A lot of times I want to help people, but I don't have the power. I have the desire, but I don't have the power. God is unique in that He has the desire to give to us, but He also has an unlimited ability. And He says, come to me, and I will do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or think. I was reading a biography by a guy named Dawson Trotman. You'll recognize the name. My son's named after him. He was a outreach guy. He reached the Navy, never served 1 minute in the Navy, but he decided he wanted to reach him. God put it in his heart. Him and about 3 or 4 guys started meeting behind a gas station where he worked, and they started praying. And they said, God, please, we want to reach millions. We want to reach millions for you, Lord. Do it, please. This went on. I think they did like a 40-day type prayer, and then they pulled out a map, and they started praying over the map. Decades later, or years later, he said, I have a regret about that time. He said, I wish I had prayed for more, because God gave him the millions. Amen. What if we called on God in a big way? Prayer. If we called on Him and believed and said, God, do big things. We are calling out to you. I want to give an analogy. I heard this in a sermon I was listening to. And this guy gave a story. He said, I went to go preach at a country church in Florida. And when I got there, this old man walked up to me and he handed me a sack of oranges. And he said, now these were special oranges. They're believed to be some of the best oranges in the world grown out of this area of Florida. And he said, we didn't even know what to do. He said, literally, this is some of the best fruit in the world. And this guy handed us sacks of them. So the preacher went home. He said, they're giving them out to everybody they know. He said, finally, we'd eaten so many. We gave so many out. He said, we put them in a closet in our apartment. We didn't have anywhere to put them. He said, about that time, I was looking out my window. And he said, a little boy jumped over the fence. He ran up and he ran up to my orange tree and he reached up. He looked around, grabbed an orange and ran off. He was stealing an orange from him, a different kind of orange. Pastor said, what that little boy didn't know is those were bitter oranges. He said, one bite and you're ready to gag. He said, boy, I'd love to have been there when this little boy bit that orange just to see. But here's the thing. He said, what a different story this would have been if that little boy would have come upstairs and said, hey, mister, can I have an orange? I would have said, heavens no, son, those are bitter oranges. I wouldn't want you to eat that. He said, but come over to this closet. I've got some of the world's best fruit here. Take as many as you want. Take bags of them. Give them out. Eat as many as you want. And the pastor went on to say, he said, sometimes I wonder if when we die and when we get to heaven, God's going to open up this closet that's full of bags of stuff and blessings and things. And we say, my goodness, what's that? And the Lord says, that's what I wanted to do through you if you called on me to do it. Amen. What a reminder to us. Call on God in prayer. Dad, I want you to come up and share a little bit. Dad has something to share on prayer. This is not an add-on. This is essential for evangelism. We're going to be talking about specifically, you've got people in mind that you want to reach. How does prayer tie into that? So, Dad, come up and share real quick.
Yeah, I just had a couple things. One of them, I had a guy at work. It was probably 20 years ago, and just had a burden on my heart. Now, I was reading through some material. It's like, see where God's moving and join him. And so I get to work one morning, and the big boss is in his office. I stopped by. I said, hey, good morning. He said, hey, how are you? Did you go to church yesterday? And I thought, whoa, God's working. I said, yeah, I did. I said, why you ask? He said, well, I was just curious. I said, yeah. I said, as a matter of fact, I'm going back tonight. Would you like to come? This was like a Monday, and we were doing a production there, and he said, sure. But he was on my heart. I just began to pray for him through the day. I can't even remember. He might have went to eat with us, and we're at church that night, and probably 1,000 people out there, and we're doing this production, and my in line was, I'm going to heaven. What about you, George? Well, I said, I'm going to heaven. What about you, Stan? Man, I thought, whoa, 1,000 people out there, and I'm looking at Stan, and I think, what did I just do? So I went up into baptism, and I'm waiting just to see if he comes forward. He didn't. I thought, okay, that complicates it. But just to show you how God is, just from praying for him and that burden on my heart, I went out to the parking lot, and I said, Stan, I said, I guess you heard what took place in there, huh? He said, I did. And he said, and God's been working in my heart, been working in my life. He put us in a relationship together for probably 10 or 15 years where we would go and just pray and pray in his office, pray for him, pray with him. Anybody that came to the back, he was in the front office, they knew where I was coming from automatically. He would just stamp it and send them back. They knew they were going to get it. So it was really a blessing. The other thing I thought was like the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. It's in James. And a lot of times when we pray for people, like I was praying so intently for Stan that day. I remember Lo Emery, granddaughter. She was probably 4 years old at the time. We were up visiting Ben and Bethany, and I hear this commotion upstairs, and I'm thinking, what's going on? You know, you hate to nose in, and just kind of open the door. I said, buddy, is everything okay? He said, no. He said, Emery's not breathing. She was struggling. They had called 911 to come to get her, to come to see what was wrong. I got up there, and she's just struggling, and she can't breathe. Just began to pray over her. I just put my hand on her little head and just began to pray. God, please, crying out fervently, save her. I don't know why the thought came to my mind. It's like, put her head in the freezer. You know how you get fresh air coming in the freezer? Put her head in the freezer. It was it. We sat there and waited until 911 got there, and she was healed. And I thought, what if we prayed that fervently for the lost people that are out there? What if that was our heart, was his heart for those lost people? You know, we go along and we get caught up in our world in doing things, and selfishly we get kind of drawn in. What if our heart were to pray like that? What if we were to see that? Where's my little paper? I was going to read the thing from Hudson Taylor. Many of y'all are familiar with him. He said, perhaps if there were more of an intense distress for souls that leads to tears, we should more frequently see the results we desire. And I'm just encouraging you, if it's family members, if it's people on the street, whoever God puts on your heart, pray for them. Pray for them fervently and see what God does. You know, when you're out there on the streets, and I guess because I was on the streets, it's like Ben says, everybody is called somewhere different to do somewhere different. But everybody you deal with is somebody's dad or somebody's daughter or somebody's sister or somebody's cousin that may be praying for that person. You ever pray for them? What about my lost son? What about my lost whatever? And you fill in the blank. You ever think that you might be the one to reach that person on the street, that God might use you to do that? So again, this is generic class. I'm praying that God will burden people in here just for those that are down and out and distressed, that need hope, that need to be pulled up. But when you pray, pray fervently. Pray, and we're going to pray in a little while. Pray that God would burden your hearts for the lost, just like he did mine when I was standing in front of that tarot card reader and that lady, and I never forgot it. It just stuck in my mind. And Pastor Lee said that. How do you say it? Don't teach me. He said, instill it in me. Because when we get taught, we forget. When it's instilled in you like that, it's stuck. So I just pray that God would put that in your heart and would burden so many of us between now and the next 3 weeks that we would just see him move. It's just amazing to see what God has done in this church and where he's brought it. Here's the results tonight and just the heart for the lost people. So pray.
Amen. Thank you, Dad. That's number one, prayer. And we think that this is a foundation of evangelism. If you're not praying for these people you're trying to reach, that's alarming. Amen. So we need to be praying, because this is a move of God. This is something he's doing, and we're coming alongside of him. All right, so I'm going to pick on Charles again here. Charles, he's at my workplace. What's the first thing I should be doing? Praying. God, I want to reach Charles. He's around me all day. How can I reach him? Lord, I pray that you would begin to do a work in his life, that I could come alongside of you and begin to share with Charles. I've seen God bring situations in people's lives that open the door wide open in an instant that wasn't there. Like, Dad, what about you, Stan? That changed the next decade of Stan's life. Dad didn't set that up. God did. All right. So prayer, number one. Don't forget that. We're going to be talking about these throughout the 4 weeks. These are critical. Next, so that's number one. Number two that we're going to talk about tonight, is the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of times when we talk about evangelism training, people get kind of scared, or they can be like, well, is this some kind of format or plan? This needs to be Spirit-led. Amen. We could not agree more. You must be Spirit-led in this. Want to share a few different testimonies on that. But first, everybody turn to John 15:5. John 15:5. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, his work in this. Jesus talking here. Of course, it's being his Spirit. He's saying, John 15:5, just talking about the Lord needing to be part of what we're doing, that he is the one doing this. Could somebody read John 15:5? I love that word. That is a deep Greek word. It means nothing, right? I'm going to count to three, and I want everybody in here to say nothing. All right, ready? One, two, three, nothing. Let's do it again. One, two, three, nothing. Who are you going to reach without the Lord's help? That didn't work. I was supposed to say nothing. All right. Next week, when I'm not working all week, we'll have that better organized, right? Nobody, right? That in the verse. Amen. Really, you can do nothing apart from him. Praise God. You can do nothing apart from him. Do not think you're going out to reach people for him. Don't think that. You're not going out to do anything for him. You're going out to let him do things through you. There is a radical difference between that. Do not put the carriage in front of the horse. You will not go out and do things for him. You're going to go out and see him do things through you. This is Holy Spirit driven. I want to give a testimony. I was working at a grocery store, and my wife can tell you, I don't even know how we got into this predicament, but I was working night shift at a grocery in school, stocking shelves. And right before we moved to Virginia, got into ministry, but we're there, and this new guy showed up. I mean, he's super cool. He's got all the cool tattoos. He's got the cool hair. You know, nothing like me, right? So he's there, and I don't know what happened. I make it a point quickly to let people know that I follow the Lord, because if you wait a year, then do that, it becomes very much complicated after 1,000 dirty jokes and statements. I make it real quick, and God showed me to do that at these places. I made it real quick. Yes, I follow the Lord. Okay. From that point on, I became his punching bag for fun and jokes. So we're there one night, and in front of everybody, he just gets on a rant about me. He doesn't know me. And he said, oh, man, look at this guy over here. What, some Bible believer. This is in New Orleans. Some Bible believer. He probably believes that some fish swallowed a human. Little does he know their throat can't take in a human, you know, or whatever he's going off these things. So the Lord told me, do not respond to this man. Just smile. Do not respond. That's kind of weird. He didn't tell me to preach the gospel. He didn't tell me to correct him, rebuke him, share 1,000 scriptures with him, prove that whales and fish and all this stuff. God said, be silent. About a week later, the guy, here we go again. Oh, this guy here, what? And he started going. He probably believes that a wall could collapse because God did it, you know, or something. He knew the Bible. God said it again, be silent, Ben. Don't respond to him. Don't retaliate. Don't educate him. Don't rebuke him. Don't make a point. Don't joke back. That's kind of weird, Lord. Okay, I'll be quiet. I sensed him saying that. About 3 weeks later, I was on an aisle by myself. Guess who walks up? This dude, he comes on my aisle. He said, hey, I need to talk to you. He said, I want to know what you believe. Can you tell me? When I say that the presence of God came down into this grocery store at 3 a.m., I had no idea what had happened. I began to tell him what I believed. And I looked up, and this man is now tearing. This tough dude, he's starting to cry. And he said, I want to tell you thank you. He said, I had no idea that's what you guys believed. From that point on, just like Dad's story, that opened up a door. He didn't get saved that night. I didn't feel even led to go any further that night. I just shared the gospel with him. And from that point on, I began to be able to share, and we began to talk. We're there. The relationship turned because I was, listening to the Holy Spirit. We don't just rattle off the gospel necessarily when we see somebody. We're staying in tune because this is the Lord's work, and he has a timeline. We'll be talking about timeline and not a lot next week. But as we go through this, this man, I left the job probably about 2 months later. We were moving out of state, and I gave him this little crafty Bible that it had a little cool front to it, and I said, hey, I want to give you this. He began to tear up again. He said, listen to me. He said, I promise you, I'm going to read this. It was the Gospel of John. And I don't know where he is today. At that point, I lost contact, but God had opened that door in a different way. I don't know what would have happened if I would have took the reins in myself and said, oh, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about the truth that the Bible is accurate, you know, and slam the table and all this stuff. Sometimes we just, all the time, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and listening to him. I want to share one more, then I'm going to call Dad up here. There was a guy at our church. I won't say where. We were living in a city. I'm just going to call him Jimmy. Okay. Jimmy, this was a big dude. Now, realize, I don't know how tall I am. I stopped trying to check, but everyone's big to me. I went to the doctor, and I told them I was 5'6", and they laughed. And I was like, what? You can't laugh at a patient? Like, what? I'm like, why are you laughing? And they're like, because we just measured you. And I was like, wow, I don't even want to know. Okay, if it's that bad. Isn't that like a patient trust or something, you know? But anyway, with that said, this guy was big. I mean, he was like a grizzly bear. He would come up, he'd put his hand on your shoulder, and I said he was 6'3", but his heart was at least 6'2". And Jimmy, we were there, And this guy, I'm going to be honest with you. I've changed his name and location, whatever, because I wouldn't want anyone to be offended by this. But he had trouble. He couldn't put a sentence together in a real way. He would take him a pretty decent amount of time to try and explain what he was trying to tell you. And he would always fumble and bumble around. This man loved the Lord with all his heart, but he was slower. He was slower, but he loved the Lord. Okay. One night, it didn't take long to see this. You can look down. This man's 60 years old. He's wearing Velcro shoes. And people wear Velcro shoes for different reasons, but one night me and Jimmy are standing there and he looked down at his shoes. He said, I want to tell you something. It took him a while to explain it to me, but he said he wears the Velcro shoes because he doesn't know how to tie a bow. And he got tired of trying to learn and he was embarrassed to ask his wife to tie his shoes. So he started wearing Velcro. So I'm saying all that to say where this guy is. He used to go with us out to outreach. Every time this guy came in, he'd say, hey, I shared with somebody the other night, like Sunday night. I'd be like, oh, you mean the guy at the park? He's like, no, this guy was at the lake. I'm like, wow, a new guy? So then we go in. I'm like, you know, Wednesday night, we'd show up at church. But man, I share with somebody. Oh, the guy at the lake? No, the guy at the hospital. I'm like, oh, wow, really? Okay. Next night, same thing. Oh, share with somebody. Oh, this guy, yeah, he was over at the mall. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. This guy's sharing. What does this look like when this guy gets out there? And one day, this guy showed up off the streets. He grabbed me by the shirt, and he said, will you come help me share with this guy? Little did I know. Friends, when he brought me in that room, I sat down. I said, I'm just going to let Jimmy share. So he began to share. You can edit that out later. Yeah. Yeah, Stan. What about you, Stan? Yeah. Right. Anyway, it could be anybody. But with that said, this guy's our friend. We love him. We still talk to him. But with that said, I was sitting next to this guy. And he began to share. I'm not saying this for effect. I'm not saying this for a sermon. I'm not saying this to get your attention. I've been in church since I was born. I've heard thousands of sermons from the pulpit, from audio, from video. I've been to school. I can't even keep track of how many revivals, conferences I've been to. I've heard Billy Graham, A.W. Tozer, Billy Sunday on audio, everything you can imagine. Listen to me. In all my life, I have never heard the gospel this clear and this powerful ever. And I sat there in awe. I wish I had an audio of it so I could go back and hear what the Lord did for me. I mean, I was stunned. And this guy, he looked at me and he said, I'm going to stop sharing. I want you to share. I said, not a chance, bro. Not a chance. I wasn't about to get involved with this. You know, what am I trying to say here? The guy's in Velcro shoes because he can't tie his shoes, guys. But when he opened his mouth for the Lord, the Holy Spirit poured out in a way that I didn't hear even Billy or Franklin Graham put it. I've never heard it this clear in my life. I'm not just saying that. Let the Holy Spirit lead. You say you can't do it. Great. That is great. I'm glad you can't do it, because once you start saying I can do it, you're in trouble. We got to bring you back to Jimmy and realize you can't do it and let him lead and guide. Dad, you have something you want to say on this? You don't? Leaving me hanging here. All right. No, I'm just kidding. No. How do we apply this? Yeah, that's good. Now, how do we apply this? I'm picking on Charles all night. How do we apply this? Got him in my life. Charles, I work with Charles. He lives next door to me. Whatever it may be. Lord, I'm going to yield myself to you. I'm going to yield myself. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to tell you, Lord, that I don't know how to reach this man. I want to, but I don't know how. I want to take this next step. We're going to talk about that next week, where we're going to cross this river. I'm going to open my mouth, and Lord, I need you to fill it. And I need you to stop me when I'm out of line. I need you to guide what I'm saying. And I need you to take control of this conversation. Amen. Number three we're going to talk about is gospel. Gospel. We don't have too much longer. But we're going to break up we're already in small groups. We're going to have small group leaders. This seems kind of silly to say this, but I have a burden when I first asked Pastor Lee if I could share this. One of the things that God had put on my heart is that I think a lot of people are sharing, but they never get to the gospel. Romans 1:16 says that it is the power of God unto salvation. It is not enough to walk up and tell somebody. Now, I want to be so careful. I'm walking a tightrope here, so please have grace on me. I tell people God loves them all the time. I tell them what God's done in my life all the time. But that is still uniquely different or not complete as the gospel. Let me give you an example. Let's just say that I had cancer and I go to a doctor. They give me chemotherapy and I'm healed. And I walk up to somebody and be like, man, you're not going to believe this, bro. I had cancer. I got chemo. I'm going to live. Man, I got my life back. Isn't this great? Like, I'm so happy about it. That's a testimony. You know what that person's going to do? They're going to walk up, give you the fist bump, give you a hug, or now with Corona, we do the, you know, weirdness with the elbow. I don't know what that is, but they would do that to you. They would hug you. Okay, that's great. That's me sharing what happened in my life. But what if I walk up to somebody and say, listen, bro, I've been there. I see 10 out of 10 signs of cancer. You've got them. I know because I've stood there. And I want to urge you, you're going to need chemo. And let me tell you what happened in my life and begin to walk through that. This person will now see a need. They'll realize, hey, this isn't healing that's sick. I'm sick. I'm sick and I need a healing. And we begin to lead. Now, I'm using that as a cancer analogy. Bring that over into the gospel analogy. It's not enough to just say, hey, Jesus loves you. That's great. If you're doing that, I'm not rebuking you. I'm applauding you. That's wonderful. But we want to add to that to where we get to a point. You know, Jesus, at one point with the disciples, he said, who do people say that I am? I'm paraphrasing. And they said, oh, some say this, some say that. And then Jesus asked a poignant question. He said, who do you say that I am? And that's the point that we need to get people to. Who do you say that he is? They need to figure out who Jesus is, and they need to figure it out in a timely fashion. And we need to help them figure out who he is. I'm debating on going into something real quick. I think it's deep. Okay. I think it's important, so I'm going to draw this real quick. I am no artist. Emery is an artist. I'm not. I see somebody back there wearing a Bob Ross shirt, right? Okay. Somebody wearing Bob Ross. That's awesome. So I'm going to draw a happy little tree here, a happy tree. What's he say? He needs a friend, right? He needs a friend. Actually, for this all purposes, this is going to be a sad tree. This is a bitter, bitter, bitter tree, okay? When we approach somebody, a person, we're going to talk a lot about these types of things. When we approach somebody, we're talking about the gospel. I think this is critically important. We're going to see fruit, worldly fruit on a lost person. Let me explain. You come here, all right, notice pretty quick they're on drugs. All right, they're wearing an inappropriate t-shirt. Yep, they just said God's name in vain. Yep, they're addicted to pornography. Yep, they're in the nightclub. Yes, they also are drinking, you know, a ton. Whatever you want to say. These are all fruits of the issue. Down here, we have roots. That's a root. Okay, root problem. Okay, let me explain. When we approach somebody trying to reach them for the Lord, one of my personal concerns, one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever seen, and I've seen it over and over, is that people will walk up to this poor man or poor woman, and they will begin to rebuke them about a cigarette. They'll say, you need to quit that. Stop listening to that music right there. Man, you really need to start dressing more modestly. Wow, I cannot believe you go to that club. You got to stop doing that. And we begin to call out the fruit. Now, let me ask you something. If I can teach old Bob here, if I can train him to stop taking God's name in vain, isn't that great? No, not really. What's Bob going to do? He's going to go to hell with a cleaner mouth. Amen. I don't want to go around fixing fruit of iniquity, okay? What I want to do is Jesus is going to get down to the root of the problem. Amen. Romans 1:16, okay? We're going to talk a ton about this next week. The root is where we need to go. I was listening to Kirk Cameron. I love Kirk Cameron. He's a profound evangelist. But he rubbed shoulders with celebrities. And he had a celebrity over to his house. He had his little kids in the room. And they were dressed inappropriately. They were taking God's name in vain. They were swearing. And they're at a dinner table. And the little kids are there. And Kurt, he said that it shook him up. And he began to question, like, maybe I say something like, hey, could you watch your mouth in front of the kids? Like, please, we had you over. Or, you know, maybe dress a little different, you know, in front of the kids and so forth. And he began to flesh this conversation out. And he began to think, what's important here? Is it important that I clean up their mouth and offend them? And then they go home and they stop cursing and go to hell? Or is it that I get down to the root issue, that's that they need Jesus? And he said, let's focus all our aim on getting them Jesus, connecting him to him. And I want to say, when we approach somebody, we need to be very careful that we're not judging. When somebody shows up outside and they've got the AC/DC shirt on and they're listening to blaring music and smoking a cigarette right before they come in, please, in the name of Jesus, we can't look at that person with any type of judgment. They look like the world because they are the world. They are not a believer. They have not been changed by the Lord. They have not had the Holy Spirit in their life. They look like that for a reason, and we dare not want to go up and just try and fix them to look like me. We need to go in with the gospel and realize this person needs the Lord, and they will be radically changed by him. And all these little fruits are going to dwindle off. In fact, the Bible actually says that we're not bad, it's that we're dead. You can't fix a dead person. You can put makeup on them, you can put different clothes on them, whatever, but they're dead. So when we go up and we try to help somebody who's dead in this type of way, it doesn't work. But I'm going to share one more crazy story. What if we're sitting in church one week? Jeff Lee's, he's kind of wild and crazy. What if somebody, Jeff Lee, brought a coffin into church and opened that thing up and there's a corpse in there? Can you imagine? This is a visual image. But everybody be like, oh my gosh, you know, do you smell this thing? Good grief, that thing stinks. Look at this. I mean, look at this, how this thing looks, decrepit, falling over. This is horrible. This here. But what if God spoke to you, walk over to that corpse, and you breathe life on it, and it comes to life and begins to go up and worship God? That's a spiritual analogy of what he wants to do with his gospel. You're dealing with a dead person. God has given you the gospel. He's given you power, and he says, go breathe life on this person, Jesus, and watch them come to life and be radically changed by my gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. So we need to be not just fixing what we think are little problems. We need to be getting down to the gospel. Amen. Dad, you got something? Okay. All right, yeah, because we're going to end this pretty soon. Number four is charge. Number four is charge. I say this. This isn't merely a good idea. We're commanded to go. Amen. This is a charge. I just want to be real brief on this, but we don't need to sit at home and wait for an opportunity. Sometimes, and this is when I start calling people much wiser than me, which is many people. I have a long list, right? So I call them and say, hey, should I do this? And they usually tell me, like, well, hasn't God already said to do that? I'm like, yeah, right. That's amazing. Okay. What? Okay, yeah, so I guess I'll go ahead and do that. So, in fact, that just happened with my job. But anyway, with that said, I think a lot of times, CJ, you hit the nail on the head the other day. We're sitting around saying, God, anoint me. God, you know, I'm ready to go and all stuff. When in reality, God's saying, go. Go. He's saying, go. And reach them wherever you go. In fact, it says, as you are going. You know, I joked at a leadership meeting the other day that when we're in line waiting for the quarter pounder, that's a mission trip. And it is the truth. Wherever you go, it is a mission trip. Has anybody ever been to overseas missions? Okay. So, wow. That's awesome. When you're overseas, don't you see things differently? I mean, I'm telling you, I've seen people It's like if a cat walks down the alley, you're ready to preach the gospel to him. You know, pray over an injured dog. You know, everyone is like on high alert, like code recon red gospel mode. You know, what I'm trying to say is we could be like that here and see the same results. If God hasn't called you to China, it's because he's called you to America. Does that make sense? I say we got all the A's. We got Russia, China, Cuba, all these countries that people go to. America. If God doesn't have you over there, it's because he's telling you to be over here. And we can get, and praise God, there nothing has brought me greater joy in my walk than seeing this happen, to where I wake up and have that experience with those eyes to see when I'm at this mundane job that I can't stand. But it's where God has me right there. And I begin to look and I see that maimed cat walk by. You know, my eyes are on alert that I can reach them. God has commanded us to go. And therefore, we have the ability to go. Okay? Awesome. Dad, you want to say something on that? No. It's up to you. Yeah. I think we're good.
No. We're good. I was just thinking of Matthew 22, if y'all are familiar with the parable when Jesus is there and he's talking about the, and I think Pastor Lee covered it recently, but the guy with the wedding. And it's like he had the invited list to the wedding. So all the people that were invited to the wedding, nobody came. Nobody. So he just dealt with them. The owner did. And he told his people, he told his servants, go out to everyone on the streets and invite them. Those that wouldn't come, he said, go invite them all. Invite everybody. And I think that's what Ben was speaking to just now. We are to invite everybody. If we could see it like he saw it, I think we would do it a little bit different. The other thing I would say, just in support of what Ben said, is I try to always remember John 3:17-18. A lot of people on the streets are used to being condemned, and John 3:17 says, I didn't come to condemn the world, I came to save the world. They're going to stand condemned at the end. They're condemned already. You can take them back to Genesis. That's where it all started. You are condemned. But when you're out there talking, so many times when I see people on the streets, they already have preconceived notion what I'm going to say. I'm going to the tree. No, don't go to the tree. Go to the root and get them there, because they'll sense it quickly. And when you share in love, I've had it happen, I don't know how many times, where I'll be sharing with somebody, and one little guy came up to me on the streets one day, and he just blasted Jesus, who he thought and what he thought he was. And I just looked at the guy, and I didn't say a word. He was waiting for me to speak back. He went around the block. I don't know where he went, but he came back behind me, and he said, Mister, he said, I have to apologize for what I said. He said, I need to repent. And he stood before me, and I was able to share with that guy. So I could tell you over and over how many times, Danielle probably remembers, we had a guy that he was a business owner on the street, and he came over to me and Danielle, and he said, guys, I don't want to discourage you. Yeah, he did. He said, but y'all are handing out these tracts, and they're all over the street. People aren't reading them. They're throwing them on the street. And he said, nobody's really paying attention. And he said, I got to come out on Saturday and sweep all these tracts up. Well, I had an option. I just felt the peace of God. It's like, wait, just wait for that opening. You just be quiet. Much like Ben just said. And I waited there. And I told the guy, I said, you know what? I said, I'll come sweep your streets. I said, if we pass these out and one person is saved from talking to them, I said, it will have been worth it all. He said, man, you're serious. I said, I'm very serious. He began to talk to me. He was an atheist. I got to share with that guy for 20 minutes. What if we'd have went the other way? What if I'd have rebuked him? What if I'd have picked his fruit? It's like, no, don't do it. Go in love. Go in love. And you need to be firm. A lot of times you need to be firm. I'm not saying that. But you need to not condemn. when you go out there. So important. I'm sure we'll cover more of that in the gospel next week. And you want to cover the charge before we move on, or do we have time?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Everybody okay for a quick one?
It's 8:15. I think we're good. Yeah. Amen. We're going to call it right there. What we're going to do now is we're going to have a small group time. But if you would, let's just take a minute and pray that God would do these things in our heart. We have heard so much. We've heard so much. And I pray that you've taken this in. I don't know where all this came from. You know, God gave it to Dad. halftime, I was in a delivery truck and God would say something and I would wait to park to type something down. Really, this didn't come from us. This is from the Lord. We didn't even have the time or really resources to put this stuff together. I want everybody to take this in. Father, I thank you tonight for being here, Lord, and I'm humbled by what you're doing. Lord, I just pray in your name that you would, God, work these things in our heart. Lord, that you would break our heart for the lost. God, that you would make us soul winners. Lord, that when we wake up, we would see things through your eyes. Lord, that's a bold prayer, but Lord, I pray that we would see things through your eyes. Lord, we'd no longer see a sick world. We'd see a world that needs a physician. God, and that we would lead them straight to you. Lord, everyone. Lord, like that person, Lord, who was paralytic in the Bible and the people ripped the roof off to bring them to you. Lord, that we would do the same, God, that we would literally carry people on our backs, rip the roof down and lower them to you as much as we can. Lord, give us the power. Lord, give us the boldness and the strength. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.